The Checklist Manifesto. How to Get Things Right. Author: Atul Gawande. Checklists have surprising power. The modern world has given us stupendous know-how, yet avoidable failures continue to plague us in healthcare, government, law, and the financial industry. And the reason is simple. The volume and complexity of knowledge today has exceeded our ability as individuals to properly deliver it to people consistently, correctly, and safely. We train longer, specialize more, use advancing technologies, and still we fail. However, we can do better, and the solution lies in the most humble of places, the simple checklist. Checklists have made possible some of the most difficult things people do, from flying aeroplanes to building skyscrapers. Experience and training. Training in most fields is longer and more intense than ever. People spend years of 60 to 80 hour weeks building their base of knowledge and experience before going out into practice on their own. They have sought to perfect themselves. It is not clear how we could produce substantially more expertise than we already have. Yet our failures remain frequent. They persist despite remarkable individual ability. Here, then, is our situation at the start of the 21st century. We have accumulated stupendous know-how. We have put it in the hands of some of the most highly trained, highly skilled, and hard-working people in our society. And with it, they have indeed accomplished extraordinary things. Nonetheless, that know-how is often unmanageable. Avoidable failures are common and persistent across many fields, from finance to business, medicine, and government. And the reason is increasingly evident. The volume and complexity of what we know exceed our individual ability to deliver its benefits correctly, safely, or reliably. That means we need a different strategy for overcoming failure. And there is such a strategy. Though it will seem almost ridiculous in its simplicity, maybe even crazy for those of us who have spent years carefully developing even more advanced skills and technologies, it is a checklist. Problems and traditional solutions. Every day there is more to manage and get right and learn. Defeat under conditions of complexity occurs far more often from exerting greater effort rather than from a lack of it. That is why the traditional solution in most professions has not been to punish failure, but instead to encourage more experience and training. Inadequacy of expertise. We live in the era of super specialists, of those who have taken the time to practice, practice, and practice at one narrow thing until they can do it better than anyone else. They have two advantages over ordinary specialists: greater knowledge of the details that matter and a learned ability to handle the complexities of the particular job. Medicine and engineering. On his way to the hospital where he works, a doctor came upon a new building under construction for the new medical center. The building was not unusually large. It would provide 150 private hospital beds and 16 fancy new operating rooms, nothing out of the ordinary. According to the hospital real estate manager, this building was no small undertaking, as it would be 350,000 square feet in size, with three stories underground in addition to the 11 stories above. It would cost $360 million, fully delivered, and require 3,885 tons of steel, 13,000 yards of concrete, 19 air handling units, 16 elevators, one cooling tower, and one backup emergency generator. The construction workers would have to dig out 100,000 cubic yards of dirt and install 64,000 feet of copper piping, 47 miles of conduit, and 95 miles of electrical wire. Both aspects are tricky. In designing a building, experts must take into account a vast range of disconcerting factors. The makeup of local soil, the desired height of the individual structure, the strength of the materials available, and the geometry, to name just a few. Then, to turn the paper plans into reality, they presumably face equally Byzantine difficulties, making sure that all different tradesmen and machinery do their job the right way, in the right sequence, while maintaining the flexibility to adjust for unexpected deliveries and changes. The doctor paid a visit to the structural engineer of the new hospital wing and told him that he wanted to know how work is done in his profession. He also asked him how he has ensured that the buildings he works on are designed and constructed right. The engineer answered him that he knew from college how to design with structural steel, and the local building code spelled out what was required for steel strength, soil composition, snow-bearing capacity, wind pressure resistance, and earthquake tolerance. All he had to do was factor these elements into the business deal, which specified the size of the building, number of floors, store locations, and loading docks. While talking, he was drawing the contours on a piece of paper. It started out as a simple rectangle, then he sketched in the store walls, doorways, and walking space. The design began taking form. He said, "A building is like a body. It has skin, skeleton, vascular system, plumbing, breathing system, ventilation, and a nervous system, wiring. Checklists and safety. Since every building is a new creature with its own particularities, every building checklist is new too. It is drawn up by a group of people representing each of the trades involved, such as a structural firm that makes sure that the structural engineering steps are incorporated as they should be. Then the whole checklist is sent to the subcontractors and other independent experts so they can double-check that everything is correct and that nothing has been missed. Good and bad checklists. Bad checklists are vague and imprecise. They are long, hard to use, and impractical. They are made by desk jockeys with no awareness of the situations in which they are to be deployed. Good checklists, on the other hand, are precise. They are efficient, to the point, and easy to use in the most difficult situations. They don't try to spell out everything. Instead, they provide reminders of only the most critical and important steps. And for checklists to help achieve that balance, they have to take two almost opposing forms. Supply a set of checks to ensure the stupid but critical stuff is not overlooked. Supply another set of checks to ensure people talk and coordinate and accept responsibility while nonetheless being left the power to effectively manage the nuances and unpredictabilities. How to make a checklist. According to Daniel Borman from the Boeing Company in Seattle, you have a number of key decisions when making a checklist. You must define a clear pause point at which the checklist is supposed to be used. You must decide whether you want a do-confirm checklist or a read-do checklist. With a do-confirm checklist, team members perform their jobs from memory and experience, often separately, but then they stop. They pause to run the checklist and confirm that everything that was supposed to be done was done. With a read-do checklist, on the other hand, people carry out the tasks as they check them off. It is more like a recipe. So for any new checklist created from scratch, you have to pick the type that makes the most sense of the situation. A checklist for checklists. Development, drafting, validation. We have the opportunity before us in virtually all endeavors. Even the most expert among us can gain from searching out the patterns of mistakes and failures and putting a few checks in place. Checklists must not become ossified mandates that hinder rather than help. Even the simplest requires frequent revisits and ongoing refinement. Airline manufacturers put a publication date on all their checklists, and there is a reason why they are expected to change with time. In the end, a checklist is only an aid. If it doesn't aid, it is not right. But if it does, we must be ready to embrace the possibility.